News Talk 104.5 FM and AM 920 KVEL. I'm Steve Evans. During the months of heightened wildfire risk, which we're in right now, Rocky Mountain Power has enhanced safety settings on power lines designed to reduce the risk of creating wildfire. Now, according to a press release from Rocky Mountain Power, these settings are designed to be more sensitive and trip more quickly than those used during non-fire risk months. Consequently, there has been some misinformation circulating in our community about this situation. In an attempt to clarify, we've asked Jonah Whitesides from the Rocky Mountain Power Corporate Offices and Brandon Anderson, District Operations Manager with Rocky Mountain Power here in Vernal, to join us in studio to discuss the reasons for these operational changes. Jonah Whitesides, thank you for making the trip out to Vernal to speak with us about this important issue.
Well, thanks for having me. I love being out here in the Uinta Basin. It's God's country. It's a beautiful place to be. I'm glad to be here.
All right. Well, we're good to have you. Now, some of the misconceptions that we have, I've been speaking with Brandon before the interview here and also following some of the comments on social media posts. Is there inadequate infrastructure? Is that what's causing the problems?
No, it's not. Rocky Mountain Power has a really good mix of generation, right? So we've got our coal and our natural gas plants. We've also got, you know, some renewables. So we can really pull on a different mix. And so it's not the supply. And even if we were, you know, operating to the most that we could provide, we are a regulated utility. So we would have to go out and buy that additional energy on the market. So nothing with supply and demand. It really is these enhanced safety settings that are, again, we're trying to balance the safety of the communities and the system to not start a wildfire.
I've heard some arguments about electric cars increasing the demand on the grid. Does that have anything to do with that, Brandon Anderson?
No, it doesn't. I mean, the EV charging is no different than any other load that we have out there. And when those loads come on, we design the system and we do studies to make sure that that's not going to overload anything. So, you know, any load we put on there, whether it's a school, EV charger, a home, you know, it's all studied and it's pretty much all the same load.
Jonah, this is the first year that this policy's been in place. And I know, Brandon, that you've been busy installing equipment, upgrading equipment and infrastructure to help keep these interruptions during fire seasons at a minimum. Could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, we've had several crews working in town for the past 5 to 6 weeks. Day in, day out, trying to just inspecting and removing older equipment, the things that cause, you know, things for birds and other things that might cause momentary outages in normal times. Just looking for those things, replacing and putting new equipment and covers on to try and eliminate these, you know, transient outages.
Jonah Whiteside, is a power supply an issue? I've heard somebody say, hey, we have a power plant that's right there in Bonanza, Utah, right here in Uinta County. Why don't we just tap into that and we can have unlimited power? Is power source a problem?
Power source is not a problem. Again, these these safety settings are just so sensitive that any disturbance to the line is going to cut the power out automatically. Now, normally, when we're not in wildfire season, that'll try and cycle through and keep the power on. You know, Rocky Mountain Power is known for having a 99, almost 100% reliability in terms of service. And so we, again, these are settings are done on purpose by design to, again, eliminate or reduce the risk that we start a wildfire.
Jonah, are they too sensitive?
You know, that's a good question.
If a chipmunk is causing it to trip, is that too sensitive?
You know, whether it's too sensitive or not, I guess I would say that I know that we've had quite a few outages out here in the basin and that it does impact people's lives. We've got people who work from home. We got people who are dependent upon their electricity for, you know, their businesses. As far as them being too sensitive, again, we really are trying to strike that balance between ensuring that we have reliable power and also the safety of the system and the communities. One of those things that we don't want to do is look back and say, well, was there more we could have done if we started a large wildfire? So when we kind of look at some of these other utility-caused fires in California, in Hawaii, in Colorado, we don't want to be in that situation. Our hope is that we can, as we get more, as we continue to build our harden our infrastructure through wildfire mitigation. We've invested about $500 million across the whole system, and we're going to continue to do that. If that allows us, it gives us opportunities to then look at those settings and adjust them. But again, time will tell. That does take some time. It does take some years when we look at permitting and other things that we need to do to build that out. But I guess to really answer your question, for a lot of people, they probably are too sensitive. But again, we were trying to strike that balance between safety and reliability.
All right. Increased risk you're mitigating comes with other risks to the community. And how do you calibrate the line between those two risks? For example, the health and well-being of our community, elderly citizens that might, for medical reasons, be on devices that require power, traffic accidents that might be due to semaphores being down due to power outages. How do you balance that?
Well, we know that, again, outages can impact people on many different levels. And one of the things that we would ask customers or listeners to consider is treating these outages as they would any other type of emergency or maybe disaster. We know that outages can happen any time of the year. And so a couple things, right? We've got what's called a medical baseline certificate where customers can go on there and register with the company. They need a doctor's kind of endorsement on that. And that helps, one, them get a discount, but it also lets us know where those people are. And then it also helps us be able to provide them some additional maybe resources or information that they're aware so they can make their plan, whether with their doctor, whether with a family member, to have that backup plan should they lose power. As far as, you know, the other people that get impacted too, again, we would just say, you know, we would ask that, you know, maybe now's a good time to maybe look at your individual and family preparedness plan. Uinta County Emergency Management does a great job of engaging with the community here, and you know they can help direct in that effort. We work with them directly, again, to make sure that, you know, if there are questions or needs as it comes to, you know, being without power, that we can support those efforts. And so I don't think we have a, you know, in an ideal world it would just be great, the power never goes off, but the reality is it can go off anytime. And again, trying to mitigate between erring on the side of caution as versus having more risk to starting a wildfire, that's just something the power company's not willing to do.
Brandon Anderson, how frequently has power been going out, generally speaking? I know it's different per areas. And how long have they been going out? You mentioned earlier about 2 hours is the longest. Is that correct?
Yeah, about the longest one is at the outset has been about 2 hours, but some of the more recent ones have been 35 to 45 minutes for restoration. Some of that depends on the weather. You know, if the winds are really high and that increases the fire danger, you know, that's going to make us more cautious in our approach to restoration and how much we need to patrol. But yeah, the average has been between 35 minutes to 2 hours.
Now, you've had some areas that you've been able to take off sensitive settings or at least reduce the sensitivity of those settings. Mainly, you mentioned the downtown Vernal area. Could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, based off of the vegetation and, you know, just where it is, if it was on just streets with just concrete and asphalt, you know, there's no vegetation from the source, I was able to exclude several circuits that basically they just focus on the downtown. You know, both north and south sides of Main Street, going out Highway 40, you know, there's really no vegetation there. We were able to exclude some of those based off of the way that they fed and where they.
So if you're in an area where there's a lot of dry fuels and you're going to be in more likely to be more sensitive area, right?
Yeah, most of the other circuits, they pass through along fields and ditch banks and just grasses. And so that's, you know, that's really why they're included, because there is a risk there.
Jonah Whitesides, why this year? Why all of the changes all of a sudden this year? Does this have anything to do with California? Is California part of Rocky Mountain Power and the liability that was experienced there? Did that get forwarded on to Utah users?
Yeah, so there's a lot of factors as to why this has happened. Namely, we have seen utility-caused fires around the country. So that obviously for the utility industry has brought a heightened level of concern. One of the things that Rocky Mountain Power has done is invested in a meteorology program in-house, an emergency management program. And so what they've done is gone through and looked at about 30 years of data, and where we had maybe a smaller areas of high risk the previous couple years, being able to take that data and go through it and to see based upon, you know, area, vegetation type, soil, like soil moisture, things of that nature, even looking at, you know, historical, just weather in general, looked at that risk, and that risk, we're able to better look at the risk as a whole and say, well, these other areas, we didn't have the data, and now we know that there is some risk there. And so that's why we're seeing that this year, and they haven't seen it in years past. But and again, there's we don't want to be that the cause of impacting a community so bad that we've seen in some of these other utility cost fires, California.
The liabilities that have experienced in California, are they affecting Utah customers?
They are not. Rocky Mountain Power is part of a bigger company called Pacific Corp, which we have a sister division over there. It's Pacific Power, and they do operate in two counties in Northern California. But for the most part, you know, the rest of California is serviced by other utilities.
Okay. Scheduled rate increases. We're anticipating a 30%, or it's been announced there'll be a 30% rate increase in 2025, and an additional 30% rate increase following year in 2026. Is that correct?
So it's a 30% over the 2 years. And what we did is when we submitted that to the Public Service Commission, it was to lessen the impact on customers. And so it's actually broken up
30%,
into 2 years.
So 15 and 24 or 25?
I guess the easy way to look at it is that way, but it is.
Or is it a 60% increase?
No. It would be a 30% overall, okay. But it's over 2 years. To say that it's 50% 1 year and the next, that's not entirely correct, but I guess that's an easy way to look at it. I would say just look at that 30% over 2 years. Now, I would say that also, well, I don't know if you had additional questions on that, Steve, before I kind of get into the process of how the...
No, I have just, it's been rumored that there's going to be a 60% increase over a two-year period, 25 and 26. Is that incorrect?
That is incorrect. Okay. Yeah. At this point, so we look at a general rate case, case by case. So this one gets submitted to the Utah Public Service Commission. They will go through their processes that have been laid out by, you know, state law and administrative rule to determine if what we are asking for, if the costs are reasonable and prudent. A lot of customers and listeners may not know, but we actually go out and spend a lot of the money on behalf of the customers ahead of time. And then we turn in our receipts to say, okay, this is what we spent, whether that's on fuel cost, whether that's on, you know, upgrades, new infrastructure. And then that's when we file that general rate case. We haven't had one since 2020, which is why you're seeing, you know, a significant request. But part of that process, too, is to also try and reset it so that in future years, that isn't so significant. And so could there be one the following year? Yes, there definitely could be. But we wouldn't know what that would be until this process goes through it, through the whole process. Okay. And the Public Service Commission.
So right now, we're looking at a potential rate increase, depending on what the Public Service Commission decides.
Correct.
Of 30%.
Correct.
In 2026.
When everything's said and done, yes, by 26. Because okay. You'll look at part of that 2025, the second part of that 2026, as it's done now. Now, the Public Service Commission come back and, you know, want us to modify things, and we can go back and modify these things. So it definitely is a process, and you won't actually see a final order from them until the end of December.
All right. Is there anything else you'd like to bring up in the few minutes that we have remaining?
Yeah, I would just like to say, too, I know customers are definitely concerned with the rate increase, and so one of the things that maybe they're not aware of is that there is a public comment process where the Public Service Commission allows the public to give their comments to, you know, whether they, you know, what their concerns are and things of that. And so definitely want to make people aware of that, because we are a regulated industry, it's not like other increases that you would maybe see, whether that's at the grocery store or any other place. We have to turn in our receipts, and they have to determine if that's reasonable. So I would just maybe say that to the customers, to know that there's a process that safeguards the consumer.
All right. Jonah Whitesides, I want to thank you again for making the trip here to Vernal, Utah, and hope you come back again more often. Bring your family with you.
It's a great place. No, I really appreciate the invitation. And
it's good to get out of the city, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's good to get off the Wasatch Front every now and again.
Well, Jonah, thanks for joining us. And Brandon, thanks for all the good work that you and your crew do. I know you you work very tirelessly on making sure that you limit the power outages. And I really commend the individuals that work under you. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
All right. Thanks for joining us here on News Talk 104.5 FM and AM 920 KVEL.